Across the Irish Sea in England tonight, there'll be fireworks and bonfires. It's called Bonfire Night, but I wonder how many people know the real story behind it. Some of us will remember the nursery rhyme that tells the real story. Remember, remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason, and plot. I see no reason why gunpowder, treason should ever be forgot. Not great poetry, but it tells the story. It refers, of course, to the plot by Guy Fawkes and others to blow up the King, James I, and the Houses of Parliament at the opening of Parliament on the 5th of November, 1605. Fawkes and his fellow conspirators were tried as traitors, found guilty of treason and executed. And the following year, a custom began by which the King and Parliament would commission a sermon to commemorate the event, and these were known as the Gunpowder Plot Sermons. Now, you didn't know that, and I don't know if they still continue. But this practice, together with the bonfires and the nursery rhyme, ensured the crime would never be forgotten. Remembering. How do you remember things? How do you remember people? Maybe those to whom you've just been introduced. Let me give you a tip. When you're introduced to somebody for the first time, don't just shake hands with them, but repeat their name, and during your initial conversation, interject that name a few times. And as you part, make sure to use the name, and if you're unsure of it, ask them again. I would add to that, write the name down somewhere. Exodus 12 and 13 are about a very important event in the life of the people of Israel. But they also give a template so that in the future it would be remembered. So here are two quotes from verse 14 of chapter 12. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And in verse 24, one of those that Robert read, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. Remember, remember. You'd be interested to know that the verb to remember occurs over 200 times in the Old Testament. And of course, Christians are called to remember the central truths of our own salvation, and we'll come to those in a moment. So what happened at that time? Let's look at the verbs. Each household was to select a lamb. They were to be year-old males without defect. And they were to be slaughtered at twilight. A bunch of hyssop was to be taken, and some of the blood was to be put on the top and the sides of the door frames. And they would eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. They were to eat it dressed, their cloaks tucked into the belt, the sandals on their feet, their staffs in their hand. And they would eat it in haste. All that is the first 11 verses of chapter 12. And then they were told, stay in the house. Stay at home until the morning. And they do just that. Stay at home. Verses 27 and 28, the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, but passed over the house of the Israelites. They were spared. They were redeemed. God had acted. And Pharaoh reacted. And so the scene was set for liberation and freedom for the Hebrew slaves. For Pharaoh finally cottons on to the fact that there's someone even mightier than he is. In verse 32, he asks for a blessing. In fact, it's a plea for a blessing in contrast to the curses he's been experiencing in the plagues. And that cuts him down to size, that plea for a blessing. For he's just as human as anyone else, despite all his claims to grandeur. And you remember it was he who said that all the young boys ought to be killed. And the people of Israel, they're ready, so they're off. And God provides for their needs, be it kneading bowls, clothes, jewelry, or silver and gold freely given by the Egyptians. But of course, that had to be held but with open hands, since later God would require it to furnish the tabernacle. That, in brief, is what happened. And here's what needed to be remembered. The lamb. The blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the sides and lintel of the doors of all the houses of the people of Israel. For that was what protected them. It meant that the plague, the destroyer, passed over their houses. Hence the title, Passover. The lamb was carefully selected, a lamb without defect. The time and manner of its slaughter was also determined, as the involvement of the community. And the menu for its being eaten. All the details mattered. But not only did the details have a present significance for them, they also foreshadowed the future when there'd be another Exodus. And that would be more historic. And you know, of course, we're thinking about the coming of Christ, our Passover Lamb. He would also be without defect. He would be pure and perfect. And when did his sacrificial death take place? In Luke 22 and verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And just as on that first Passover, the lamb dying was a substitute for the death of the firstborn in that household, so the death of our Passover lamb is a substitute for the death which we deserved because of our sin. So Jesus died in our place that we might be redeemed, that we might be forgiven, that we might have a new start. What needs to be remembered? The Lamb. And also the place. Verse 22 tells us the people were instructed, not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. So having daubed the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, they were to stay at home. Only by remaining indoors could they claim God's powerful protection. And so, as we know, scientists have developed vaccines against a whole variety of diseases. But even in countries where these vaccinations are readily available, sometimes even free, they haven't always been eradicated. And the reason? People have to choose inoculation to enjoy immunity. We don't have to think back very many years and months to during the COVID pandemic, when we knew people who refused vaccination for all sorts of reasons, and some of them really quite weird. Sin is the most virulent virus known to humanity. It's in all of us, and we know that. And God's solution is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was John the Baptist's description. And so we find ourselves looking again at the cross, the only way to deal with sin. In a few moments, we'll be singing, "Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you." But you know, folks, God's provision of this completely sinless and all-sufficient sacrifice is only one part of the transaction of salvation. What is needed to complete the transaction? Acceptance, appropriation of his sacrifice. That's needed by all of us. Just as the people of Israel had to apply the blood of the slain lamb to the doorframes, had to take shelter in the house, so we need to exercise faith. Faith in the sacrificial and substitutionary death of Jesus, that his saving work can take effect in our lives. So the question for all of us is very straightforward. Are we in the house? Are we in the faith? Change the metaphor. Have we taken hold of it for ourselves? Are we living by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us? As the Message puts it in Romans chapter 3, God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin, and having faith in him sets us in the clear. In Jesus, God has shown us grace, amazing grace. Like John the Baptist, I say, look at Jesus, the Lamb of God. And Paul, writing to Timothy in what was probably his last letter, says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. It's all about Jesus. It's not about our traditions. It's not about being here because this is a communion Sunday. It's about looking at Jesus crucified for us. Jesus, our liberator. Jesus, our only Redeemer. Not as one who did something in the far distant past, but impacting us now, today. Remembering is vital to building good relationships. It's vital to building the covenant relationship individually and as a congregation. Remember what he does for you. He bears our sin, our guilt, our shame. He dies the death that we ought to have died. He takes your place and mine. Another hymn to finish. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen.